Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Our text this morning comes from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's a familiar passage, but I want you to listen to it closely as I read and follow along in your Bible or one from the pew rack in front of you. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. You know, the past few Christmases we've talked about Mary and her faith. We've talked about Jesus being the indescribable gift from God, and we've talked about Joseph, the forgotten figure at Christmas. And today I want us to reflect on the wise men. The story of the wise men is shrouded in mystery. We think we know all there is to know about them. Yet there are many questions which are unanswered even after we study the Scriptures. Questions such as, how many wise men were there? We do not know. From where did the wise men come? We do not know. How long was the wise men's journey? We do not know. The wise men appeared mysteriously, and just as mysteriously, they were gone. But one fact is certain, that the number of wise men and women increases every generation as people continue to search for the Christ. And I want us to review three lessons that I believe we can learn from the story of the wise men. First lesson we learn from the wise men is, a wise man's journey is one of faith. What would prompt someone to leave his home to travel a dangerous journey? Romance, perhaps? Money? Most definitely, I think that would prompt someone to leave their home. But what about faith? Is faith a motivator to take a dangerous journey? In verse 2 of that text I read to you, a question posed by the wise men when they arrived in Bethlehem, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? What a probing question. But you know, there was no doubt whatsoever in the mind of the wise men that a King of the Jews had been born. The only question they had was, where is he? They had seen a star in the east, and to them that was sufficient evidence that a king had been born. Yet where is he? These men had faith that a king of the Jews was alive, that he existed, and now they wanted and needed to find him. Such was the purpose of their journey, to find the King of the Jews. Therefore, they were willing to risk everything to locate this king. They were willing to leave the safety of their homes to risk a perilous journey. Can you imagine the questions that their neighbors had of them? Are you going on a journey? Where are you going? How far is it? How long will you stay? And I can imagine each time the wise men answered, we don't know. We aren't sure yet. We don't have any idea. And these same questions were probably asked Abraham when he left his home for the promised land. The same questions must have been asked of Noah, who began to build an ark many, many miles from any body of water. Surely the same questions were posed of Peter, Andrew, James, and John when they quit their jobs as fishermen and began to become fishers of men. I feel confident that all these men were considered by even some of their loved ones, certainly by their friends and by just casual acquaintances, to be crazy and insane. But let me assure you, they were neither crazy nor insane. They were men of faith, and a journey for God always involves faith. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. Why? Because anyone who wishes to approach God must believe in or have faith in two facts. One, that he exists, and two, that he will respond to those who seek him. History teaches us people of faith have been willing to respond to the challenges of the unknown over and over again. William Carey was a shoemaker when he heard millions of people in India did not know Jesus. And he believed the Great Commission was speaking directly to him. So he volunteered to go and witness to these people as a missionary. Yet he was told, when God wants to convert these heathens, he will do it himself. Carey didn't listen to those who made that statement. He went anyway and supported himself, and he labored and ministered and witnessed for 7 years without a single convert. But many years later, by the end of his life, Carey saw hundreds of churches and thousands of converts as a result of his work. And today he is known as the father of modern missions. William Carey was a man of faith. The second lesson we can learn from the wise men is a wise man's journey is one of worship. When the wise men began their journey, it was for the purpose of finding the King of the Jews and to worship him. They brought gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, to present to this new king. And each of these gifts were symbolic. Gold was a symbol of wealth. It was a gift fit for a king. And certainly Jesus Christ was the King of the Jews. Frankincense is the sap of a tree which is dried and hardened and used as incense to worship God. And Jesus is the Son of God. And myrrh was a fragrant perfume used to anoint the dead, to embalm them and preserve them. And we know that Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, died on the cross for us. However, there's more to worship than bringing gifts, than bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh. Worship always involves a sacrifice. Did the wise men pay any price for their worship? You bet they did. They left on a journey and committed themselves to find this King of the Jews. And travel in those days was not like it is today. They didn't get on a 747. They didn't get on Amtrak. They didn't even get in the car. Travel was dangerous. They traveled on camel. They were susceptible to robbers and thieves and being mugged. They were susceptible to sandstorms and to running out of water. Travel was not a comfortable task in those days. The wise men sacrificed their own comfort to find this king and to worship him. Listen to what David says about sacrifice. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. If I don't have to pay a price, then it's not a sacrifice. It's not an offering worth giving. Paul stated in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Worship requires sacrifice. And the greatest gift, the greatest sacrifice we can offer to God is ourselves. Even today, we have given Him something. We have given Him our time by being here. We prepared for the journey to His house of worship this morning by awakening and dressing to meet a king. We drove our cars and used our gas and came to church. And some of you, when the offering plate was offered, you put in monies to purchase materials for the maintenance of God's work, Sunday school materials. We used that money to send our children to Christian camp, Camp Concord. We used that money to pay the staff and many, many other things. So when we came to God's host today, we came to be a living sacrifice, even though you may not view church attendance as a sacrifice to God, or may not have thought of it in that way. But we came. We sacrificed something. The efforts we make to worship God are our sacrifice to Him. The question is, how much of an effort do we make? And I want you to remember, if nothing else, one fact here today, that what God wants most of all, above everything else, is you and I. He wants our heart. He wants our attention 24/7. So the question becomes, what are we willing to give God? The wise men were willing to give their time and their effort to travel on this journey and to bring gifts. Are we willing to give Him our best? Are we willing to go on a spiritual journey to worship Him? Are we willing to give up our comfort zone for Him? The wise men were. The third lesson we can learn from the wise men is that a wise man's journey is one of change. Look again at verse 12 of our text. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their home by another route. How interesting. After these men, who were, as scriptures tell us, were wise men who traveled a distance to see the King of the Jews, they did not return the same route they had come. And such is a fact even today. Once God enters our life, we shall never be the same. We cannot travel the same path in life. An encounter with God changes us. Remember, Jacob wrestled with God and never walked the same path the remainder of his life. Isaiah stepped into the presence of God and proclaimed, "Woe to me! For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah was never the same again. Job questioned God over and over and over again concerning Job's suffering. But then when God appears before Job, Job says, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." Job met God and became a changed man. And that's what happens when we walk into the presence of God. We become changed. And this is what happened to the wise men when they encountered Jesus. They were changed. That's what an encounter with Jesus does. That's what happens. Life becomes different when we truly encounter the Christ. We hear the story of the wise men. They were wise because of their faith. They were wise because of they were willing to sacrifice, and as a result, they were changed forever. And all of these changes occurred because of the birth of a baby boy. The question is, how about you? Are you looking for a change in your life? If you find Jesus, I guarantee you that you will be changed. Life will be different. So I'm telling you to step out in faith and seek the King as the wise men did. Today is your opportunity to do that. Today is your opportunity to come forward and say, "Yes, I've been seeking Him. The Holy Spirit has been on my heart, praying on my heart, telling me to have an encounter with this Jesus, so that my life will never be the same." All you need to do is come forward and confess your sins to the Lord. I'll pray with you and we'll talk about where we go from there. But come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 279, "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee." And we invite you to stand.